Okay, this will be brief. Okay. I want you to just listen to the Lord give these verses, and I want to tell you why I've chosen these verses. The Lord was about to leave his disciples. He's about to go to be crucified. After that, you will see them a couple of times, but he's going to ascend into heaven, and he's not going to be with them physically anymore. So it's going to be a sad day. It's a sad night for many reasons, but he's telling them that he's going to go away. I want you to think about what their 3 years were like up until that time. Maybe it's not distracting. All right. Think about their 3 years until that time. They were with the Lord. They went with the Lord everywhere. Could you imagine what evening devotions were like with the Lord? Come on, let's have evening devotions. I mean, they never felt closer to God the Father than being with him. And that was like 3 years. And imagine the flip side. So that's kind of vertical, right? I mean, I've never felt closer to the invisible God than when I was with the visible Lord Jesus, right? And they were with him for 3 years. But at the same time, they had this advantage over the world, right? I mean, they could go into any setting, right? The Lord's out front, right? I mean, imagine that. It's like going, well, in a very small way, it's like going open air preaching with Chris Schroeder, you know? You put him out front. The first time I ever did open air evangelism in California at Redondo Beach, I had been trained by Chris Schroeder. This is many years ago, I hate to say. But anyway, so I'm up there doing my sketchboard for the first time, and I start to speak. Things are actually going not so bad. And I'm going along. It's my first time, and I get a heckler. Guy in the crowd starts saying some things. Well, Chris Schroeder, you saw him here 2 years ago when he was here. He's 6'5". And, I mean, every bit as intimidating as he was when he was here, but also younger, so even more so. He's in the crowd. Now, people don't know we're together, but he's in the crowd. And he just reaches over to the heckler and taps him. The guy turns around and says, "Excuse me, I'd like to hear what the man has to say." He kind of moved out of the way. And, but it was great having him there. He knew just what to do all the time. And imagine the disciples with the Lord Jesus, and they're there with him, and they're not afraid of any scene that comes up. Whoever's going to come up, whether they're philosophers or Pharisees, the Bible, the Lord is going to make fools out of them if that was the appropriate thing for the time. Or whatever the Lord would be right. But the Lord was in front. And they had this advantage over the world. Now, I want you to think of these two things. One of them is they've never felt closer to the Father. The other is they've had this advantage over the world all for the past 3 years. And now the Lord says, "I'm going away." Okay, what? Go back a moment. What did you say? "I'm going away. You're on your own." But not quite, you're on your own. That's probably what they felt. The Lord says, "I'm going away, but I'm making provision for you so that you can maintain the closeness to the Father that you had when I was here. And you can maintain the advantage over the world that you had while I was here." What is the primary mechanism by which God is going, the Lord was going to enable that? He was going to go away, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the simplified answer. If you want the whole answer, John 13 and 14 explains how our intimacy with the Father would be maintained even without the Lord here. John 15 and 16 is going to explain how we can maintain our advantage over the world, even though the Lord is not here. Now, the Spirit of God is going to come up in both of these. And if you only had one answer to give, that's the right answer. The Spirit would be given. But it is a little bit more complicated than that. So I want you to understand what John 16 is doing. The Lord is explaining to his disciples how they can maintain their advantage over the world, even if he's not there. And the reason that I want to talk about it at this last night is we are leaving Summit Week now. We are going out into the world, and a lot of us are going to be going to college, sometimes away from home. We're in a new environment. Things are different. And there is, to my mind, a close analogy between going off to college and what the Lord talked to them about in John 16. Okay, I'm going to try and be brief. So let's read these quickly. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They're going to put you out of synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. Pleasant thought. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. If I depart, I will send the helper to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just a few thoughts about these. Okay, chapters 13 and 14 versus chapters 15 and 16. That's what I talked about before. The father, think of a father sending a son off to college. And the father sits the son down to give a send-off talk, right? Son, you're going to college. That's how it begins. Okay. Now, this is one of the colleges that I went to. Now, this is a true story. I know of a father who asked his son, and the son was not really applying himself in school. He said, tell me, where can I buy a degree for you? And I'll buy it. Show me where I'm supposed to pay the money. I'll buy a degree for you. The son said, it doesn't work that way. The father said, exactly. In other words, it's a thing that you have to go through if you're going to get a degree from college. It's not something somebody can buy for you. And this is the same thing with us in the world. The Father looks at us, and he doesn't take us from the tribulation, from the difficulties. He takes us through the tribulations and the difficulties. Even though we have a God who is omnipotent, he can do everything. It's like the father who says, I'll buy a degree for you. No, sometimes there are things we have to go through ourselves. The father can provide all the resources needed, but the son still has to go through it for himself. And this is what a lot of John 16 is about. It's about the Lord bringing us through the difficulties rather than taking us, removing us from the difficulties. So the first step in this whole process is becoming a son. The Lord says, the Bible says, as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That is the first step in this whole process. Mm-hmm. If you are here and you've never been born again, that is, become a child of God by receiving the Lord Jesus into your life. All of these things we're about to talk about do not apply to you. The first step is becoming a child of God. All right, we find out in the passage there are four provisions for the Lord's departure. There's the foretelling of trouble, the sending of the Spirit, a certain hope of the future, and then access through prayer. And then it summarizes at the end. There seems to be this peace that seems out of place amid all the tribulation going around. So that's kind of the thumbnail sketch of what the Lord tells. The first is the foretelling of trouble. There's going to be trouble out there. Why do I have a picture of an ancient phone bank here? When I was at the University of Maryland, the beginning of one of the semesters, I was walking through the Student Union building. And way back at that time, they had these. And this is almost exactly what it looked like in the Student Union building. A whole row of payphones. And this is how you had to talk with home. There was this one girl on the phone, just in tears, crying. I mean, you're not being nosy. I mean, you're just kind of walking by. Very, very slowly. And she's there. It's awful. I hate it here. They're treating me like a number. I'm not even knowing. Everything's going wrong. I can't get the classes that I wanted, and I can't, you know. Walking by, thought to myself, somebody needs to just tell her that what she's going through is normal. The professors hate me. Professors hate everybody. this life here. Well, I'm treated like a number. Okay. Anything else, 42? I mean, what you're going through is called normal freshman experience. Nobody gets the classes they wanted. That's why some of these classes exist. Do you think anybody signs up for them voluntarily? But interestingly, the Lord says ahead of time, he says, I'm telling you what's going to happen so that when it happens, you know I told you about it. Now, how does that help? How does that help? I mean, just because you tell somebody this is normal, their circumstances haven't changed a bit, have they? But the Lord says it ahead of time. He says, so when it happens, you'll know that it was expected. You'll know that I foresaw it. You'll know that it's not taking me by surprise. And you'll know my plan has not gotten off track by what's happening. That is comforting. That's comforting. Know that what's happening is normal. The sending of the Spirit. We're going to skip this. We'll skip that. The certain hope of the future. Again, the college analogy helps. That's good. And access through prayer. Real quick, the access through prayer. When you're going off to college and you're getting that college talk, the send-off talk, and your dad talks about all the dangers out there in college and says, all right, he says, now, remember, I'm with you here, okay? I mean, I'm not with you on campus, but I'm with you. And you need anything, you call and let me know. I'll give it to you. How many of you would understand what your father meant if he said that? Everybody would, right? This is what God, the Lord says. He says, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. The context is that they're going through this difficulty, this tribulation. So when you're at school and you're at college and you call your dad and you say, I need a laptop for this class and I don't have a laptop. $1,200. Dad says, okay, I'll buy it. Right? I need a textbook for this class. The textbook is $250. And don't think that doesn't happen. Dad says, okay, I'll buy it. somehow when we read, ask anything in my name and the Father will give it to you, all of a sudden we think of Mercedes cars. So, I mean, Lexus or something like that. That's not the context of it, but we have this access through prayer. All right. So I've been mingling this college analogy with the Lord sending out his disciples alone. I'm going to come back to the college analogy to make it a college application. Some college survival tips for those of you going off to college. First, do not say, I'll serve the Lord when I'm finished college. I have to say, throughout my undergraduate and graduate, I was always involved in the Lord's work through those times. I don't look back at my life at very many things and hold them up and say, I think I did that one right. But this is one I think I did right. That is, you serve the Lord while you're going through these things. And if it takes you another semester or two to finish everything, so be it. But this idea that I am totally devoted to my studies, and when I finish that, now that the hard part's over, I can go to now serving the Lord and becoming more involved in things. My graduate school took a little longer than it needed to. And one of the reasons was I made a decision to be involved in the local assembly, heavily involved in the lives of young people. So I was growing in the Lord while I was growing in my scholastic studies. And that has made all the difference. Be faithful in an assembly and in a local church. And this is something that I was able to do in graduate school out there in the Los Angeles area. It did wonders for me through all the difficulties of graduate school. And I had some tough graduate school. And you don't want to hear about it. I mean, it's just, I could pull some books off my shelves. It'll scare you. I know because they scare me now. It was tough. But, you know, having that faithfulness in the local assembly was so important. And I remember there were weeks where I felt like I was a failure in terms of how little I've gotten done for the Lord and how things are going. I mean, it's just a down week. And I look back and I'm like, well, was there anything good in this week? It's at the local assembly. Was encouraged. And there's that. Be faithful in an assembly, the local church. Be intentional in making some godly friends. Be intentional. Don't let friends just happen to you. It's how we normally go about life. We just go about life, and before you know it, we have some friends. But going into the college scene, be intentional about making some godly friends. Now, some friends will just happen, but be intentional about making some godly friends. Predict danger areas and solve them ahead of time. This is what we talked about in our last session. Predict them and solve them ahead of time. Most of these things don't come at you by surprise. Okay, know what you're going to do ahead of time in these situations. Know what you're going to say when offered certain things that are sinful. Try to follow some while being followed by some. And what I mean by this is, as you get involved with things, look to those who you want to follow, but this is also important. Be an example to some. You want to be in the middle, okay? You want to have some that you're following, and you want to have some that are following you. That is, younger ones in the church or something like that, involved in Sunday school or teaching them or taking time with them. So you're not only a follower and a receiver of good things, but you're also a leader and a giver of good things. It does wonders for you as a person. Overcome. Thank you, Lauren. Light, nice and loud.
Fear of missing out.
This is the thing. We're all going to a party. Okay, tell me about it. It starts at 2 a.m. Okay, that could be a warning sign right there. Okay. Anyway. All of a sudden, we get the fear of missing out. What, they're going to do something without me. They're going to have fun without me. I'm going to miss out on the circle of friends by not getting there. Overcome that. And keep up with your Summit Week family through the year. I think this is, it's wonderful. You have godly believers around you here. Keep up over the year while we're gone. It'll be a tremendous help to us all. Encourage one another. Not only will it be an encouragement to you, you be an encouragement to the others.